Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Radio Islam's gardening program. My name is Anisa Isak and my guest, I should say our resident horticulturalist for the gardening show is Astrid Badenhorst, and she's a horticulturalist here in Durban at the Durban University of Technology. This morning's topic, we're looking at gardening in August, some of the chores that you would have to do prior to spring setting in. Astrid, good morning.
Good morning, Anisa. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, and it seems as if spring's already set in Durban because I saw a whole lot of azalea plants blooming this morning.
That is right. Yes, azaleas do flower quite early, even before spring, welcoming spring in.
Yeah, some very pretty blooms along Argyle Road as I came into work this morning.
It must have been a wonderful sight to see.
Yeah, being a Maritzburg girl, yes, azaleas but usually there's a festival held in Maritzburg when the azaleas start blooming, the azalea festival. I'm not sure if they still do have it, but yeah, it was actually quite a pretty sight this morning.
Yeah,
so we're discussing... Yeah, so carry on.
Now, I said in other parts of the country as well, jasmine is starting to flower. So that nice smell, strong perfume of the jasmine also are welcoming spring very, very quickly.
Yes, definitely. I also like the smell of jasmine. All right, so we're dealing today with how to get our gardens ready for spring. Some of the chores that we need to do so that the garden's looking good and ready.
That is right, yes. August is still pretty much cold. In some parts of the country, August is wet and windy and still dark when you get up. In other parts of the country, August seems to be windy and quite dry. And yes, but I know a lot of gardeners don't want to venture out in the garden still in August, but it's a very busy time in gardening circles, and there's a lot of little chores that you need to do. Seeing that August is the windy month, you have to ensure that all your standards and young trees are staked. You don't want them to snap in the wind. And you get various different types of stakes, but the important thing is not to tie your plant too tight to your stakes. It need to be secured, but if you tie too tight, then it can damage the bark, which will then injure your plant. And yes, you can be entry points for various fungal diseases if your bark is damaged. So what I normally do is I just tie the stake around the plant in a figure of eight, ensuring that the plant will still be able to move around a little bit and that it's not too tight. And then also it's important to check the stakes regularly throughout the spring-summer season just to ensure that it doesn't become too tight and damage your trees or standard roses or standard plants that you are using.
All right, so what else do we need to be aware of during this time that, you know, gardeners in particular?
Yes, your winter-spring annuals are still flowering in most parts of the country. So if you remove the spent blooms are all those that already finished flowering. If you just pinch that back, then it should give you another flush of flowers as the weather starts to warm up. So you can just pinch those dead flowers back and they say it will start blooming again. And you can also look at start to sowing your spring and summer flowers. The plants you can start looking at are things like alyssum, Amaranthus, Cosmos, Candida, Philotheus, your bedding dahlias, Lobelias. There is such a wide variety. Phlox, Salvia, Verbena, Zinnias, Taurinias. So there is, as I said, a wide, wide variety. In the colder part of the month of the country, to prevent your germinating seedlings from frost damage, you can plant it in like seedling trays or starter boxes, and keep it in a protected area, and then plant it out a little bit later, say in the second week of September. You can then start planting it out in your garden. And when you do your planting, just remember to group your plants together in according to the watering needs, and in the correct areas, if they need sun shade or semi-shade. If you do these groupings, you will save quite a lot on water, and you will notice that I always talk about water issues, and that is because South Africa is actually a water scarce area, and seedlings tend to consume quite a lot of water. So also when you buy your seedlings, make sure that you select water-wise seedlings, things like your Portulaca. Those are your nice summer flowering fairy types. Also indigenous ones like your gazanias and so forth.
Okay, so this is also a good time of the year to start looking at your hedges and cleaning up the garden parts and that kind of thing.
Yes, definitely. You can start clipping your hedges. Especially in the warmer parts of the country. In the parts where you might still find late frost, the clipping of the hedges until, say, early September, because by pruning and clipping, you stimulate new growth, and you don't want late frost to actually damage your new shoots. And yes, it's also the time for cleaning up. And as the temperature increases, you will find that weeds are starting to germinate. So let's tackle those weeds now before they start setting seeds. If they start seeding later on in then you have a bigger problem on your hands. So if you start pulling them now, you will save yourself a lot of trouble. Also cleaning your pathways. It's also cleaning your pathways. You do all those sort of chores now. What I forgot to mention, if you do your weeding now, it's a good idea to mulch your gardening bed afterwards. Don't dig it in, the mulch or compost. Just leave it on top. That mulching layer will delay or prevent more weeds from coming up.
Okay. Carry on. You carry on. I'll ask questions as we go along. you were talking about trimming hedges and that kind of thing, and then you spoke about mulching. Is it also possible at this time, all this debris that you're collecting, you can also start putting it aside to have your your compost to be made up? Is this a particular good time now for getting your you mentioned seedlings? I'm thinking, what about your things like your herbs and other things for the garden, like your fruit trees? And maybe you could tell us a little bit about that as well.
Okay. Yes. You're now basically starting to prepare for your spring planting. So the same with seedlings, your herbs, and also some of the vegetables. You can start sowing now in warmer parts of the country. Yes, you can start sowing directly into your beds. But as I said, if you in parts of the country where you can expect late frost, do it in starter trays and put it in a protected area where the frost and cold won't harm the germinating seedlings. I'll talk a little bit later about fruit trees. What I wanted to say is that your winter flowering bulbs, they should be starting to finishing flowering. Don't lift them now. They actually need the green leaves to start storing food in the bulb for the next season's bloom. So what you can do with them now is to feed them actually with a high potassium fertilizer, something like 315 or 515. And that potassium actually hardens the bulb. It also feeds the little flowering embryo that is dormant in the bulb, and it will ensure a lot of a successful bloom next season when you do plant them. Now, later on, as the weather starts warming up, you will find that your winter flowering bulbs will then start, the leaves will start dying down. When the leaves have died down, you simply lift up these bulbs and you dry them in a cool, dry place. After it is dried, you can then store them in boxes using vermiculite or sawdust. What I found is that before you actually put them in the vermiculite or sawdust, if you use a powder, a fungicide powder, and a lot of nurseries and garden centers sell fungicides in a powder form, you add this powder, you put the powder in a plastic bag, and then you put your bulbs in this plastic bag and you just shake it to lightly coat it with a fungicide, and then you put it in your boxes between layers of sawdust or vermiculite. And this fungicide will actually prevent the bulbs from rotting while in storage. And coming next season, you can then plant them out again.
An interesting thing. You don't usually think about doing something like that.
Yes, in some areas, the soil temperatures actually get too hot for the winter flowering bulbs, and that's why it's good to actually store it. And you know, a shoebox, a cardboard shoebox is ideal to store these bulbs in. Yes. And you just place it in a nice, cool, dry area, and then take them out next autumn, late summer, autumn, and replant them.
Okay. All right. You were going to say something else before I cut you off there.
Yes. Also, still on the topic of bulbs, especially things like Clivias, Agapanthus, Amaryllis that stay in the ground and that also evergreen. You should start checking for early signs of lily borer. Now, lily borers are caterpillars, strap caterpillars that appear in early spring, say middle towards end September, and they start eating the leaves, and they actually eat it right down to inside of the bulb, right down inside of the bulb, and you can actually lose precious bulbs like your clivias or your agapanthus. So this time of the year, you should look underneath the leaves and also where the leaves emerge from the bulbs, and you will see like tiny little eggs underneath the leaves. If you notice those eggs, then you should start spraying with insecticide. There are various different insecticides available, even eco-friendly ones. So if you visit your garden centers, you can just ask them to recommend the correct insecticide for the lily borers.
Okay, and one of the things I wanted to ask you, and I've completely forgotten about it, but I will remember as we go along. Oh, roses. Is there any particular, is there any, special care that needs to be given to roses at this time of the year?
Mm-hmm. Roses normally get pruned during June, July. If you haven't pruned your roses yet, you can do so now. And then also, it usually gets sprayed with lime sulfur, but in areas where it is warmer, don't use any lime sulfur now, because some of the new buds are starting to form and new growths are forming, so lime sulfur will damage all of those. Mulch your roses. And also, you can give it a balanced feeding of 2-3-2 or 3-2-1. Again, if you are in areas where you can expect late frost, delay the feeding until early September, as you don't again want your new shoots to be damaged by frost. But mulching it is a very good idea. So. That is what you do with roses. The further feeding and care of roses towards spring, I'll keep that for a little bit later, closer to the time.
Okay, am I jumping the gun here?
You're jumping the gun here. But yes, mulching, and then in areas where you don't expect late frost, you can start feeding it with a balanced fertilizer, as I mentioned, 2-3-2 or 3-2-1. Hydrangeas is also a very interesting topic. I simply love these big clusters of flowers of hydrangeas. If you haven't pruned your hydrangeas as yet, you can give it a light prune now as well. And then also, hydrangeas, you sometimes get these deep blue flowers, which are very pretty. So what is interesting about hydrangeas is that when your soil is slightly acidic, then you get these deep blue flowers, and when your soils are slightly more alkaline, then your hydrangea flowers pink. So acidic soil, my granny always called acidic soil as sour soil, and alkaline soil she used to call sweet soil.
Uh-huh.
And to get your hydrangeas that nice deep blue color, you can start feeding it with aluminium sulfate or Epsom salt. So you sprinkle some Epsom salts around your hydrangea plants, water it in well, and you can do so every second week now. And the Epsom salts or aluminium sulfate will slightly change the pH of your soil around your hydrangeas, and when it starts flowering, it should start flowering that nice deep blue color. And if you like your pink hydrangeas, you can use crushed eggshells around it, so that eggshells is the pH is more alkaline.
Okay. All right. Astrid, we're going to take a quick break in order to pay the bills. And then when we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more what needs to be done in the second part of the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to the gardening program here on Radio Islam International. My name is Anisa Isaac, and we are speaking to Astrid Bardenwurst. She is a horticulturalist from the Durban University of Technology. Just remember that if you have any queries with regards to your garden or plants, or anything you'd like to find out within the gardening field or horticulture, then you're welcome to give us a call. You can call us on 011-854-1548, or you can send me a text message via WhatsApp on 084-030-9955. That's 084-030-9955. Or if you maybe want to give us a call, the number is 011-854-1548. Astrid, we're talking about the chores and what's necessary to be doing in your garden at this time of the year so that you have it ready for spring. So what else do we need to start looking at in our gardens right now?
Before the break, you asked me about fruit trees. So I'm going to answer you now. Yes, fruit trees, the pruning are normally done by June. So you don't really prune your fruit trees now. Fruit trees like your peaches, apricots, plums, nectarines, your pears, your apples, they will be coming into bloom quite soon, towards the end of the month or early September. In some parts of the country, I think some of them is actually already starting to bloom now as we speak. So it's a good idea to give them a good mulch with compost and to feed it with a 315 fertilizer. The 5 in the potassium actually encourage nice fruiting and then flowers. It's important to water it thoroughly, especially if you're in the drier parts of the country. And if you find that your peach trees and nectarines were plagued by leaf curl last season, you can spray it with a suitable fungicide before they start coming into bloom. That is just to a preventative treatment for that fungal disease. It's very difficult to spray your fruit trees when they are in bloom because that can potentially damage the flowers and then you won't have a good crop. If you look at citrus trees, also start feeding it now with either 315 or balanced fertilizer 232. And then citrus like the soil slightly acidic, so you can give it also Epsom salts or aluminium sulfate just to get that nice balance for them. It will also ensure that the leaves stays a nice green color. Citrus psylla, especially here in Durban, is quite a problem, and I know in some past programs some listeners actually asked about those bumps that appear on the leaves.
Yes.
So it's a good idea to start spraying for citrus psylla as well now, especially the new leaves, as the new leaf starts to grow, to prevent the new leaves from being infected with citrus psylla. Concentrate on the underside of the leaves, basically. So, yeah, that is what you can do for fruit trees. But also talking about psylla, I'm thinking now of conifers as a especially in the Gauteng area and also parts of the Western Cape. I know some gardeners simply just love their conifers. And conifers get attacked by the conifer aphid. So this time of the year is also a good idea to start spraying for conifer aphids to prevent that from damaging your plants. Now, the conifer aphid starts being active this time of the year, but you can only see the damage they do towards midsummer, but and then it's too late to treat it. So this is now the time of the year to start spraying for your conifer aphids or against the conifer aphids.
All right. I have two questions that have come in for you. Yes. Thank you to our listener, Brother Eunice. He wants to know, first question, must a pomegranate tree be fed now and can I trim it?
Okay. Pomegranates, they should be coming to an end with the bearing fruit. So, yes, now is the ideal time to actually prune your pomegranate, again mulch it, and then yes, you can feed it with a balanced feed like 2-3-2.
Okay, Brother Eunice, I hope you heard that. And his second question is it time to cut down a hydrangea to pair off plump buds? I'm not sure what that means. Is it time to cut down a hydrangea to pair off plump buds now?
Yes, yes, it's the ideal time. I actually know what he
Yeah, I would not know.
I actually do though. Yes, you do. You don't give it you don't cut it back too hard. Yes, what he means with pair of plum buds is that that is the new growth that's going to start. But if you don't pair or thin it out, then you will tend to sit with a very dense bush during the summer months, and hydrangeas are very prone to fungal diseases. So pairing off the plum buds will result in a more open type of bush that will allow air circulation through the plant during the summer months, and it will prevent fungal diseases. So this is the ideal time to do that.
Okay. I know little about gardening, so that's why if our listeners, please forgive me, I ask many questions because I'm trying to learn, and also at the same time hopefully asking the questions that you would find, that you need to have answered as well. So inshallah, forgive me for my ignorance in gardening. I do live in an apartment block. There's not much of a garden for me. But growing up on a farm, I must say, there are, you notice a lot of things about plants and how they grow and that kind of thing. So that's what sparked an interest for me. One of the other things now, vegetables during this time, what would you do if you have a little vegetable patch in your garden, or maybe even something bigger than a vegetable patch?
It's what you basically do now. You can still harvest your winter crops, things like broccoli and cauliflower. After you harvest it, you can give it another feeding and encourage the last harvest of the season. And again, basically cleaning out, taking out weeds and pinching back or taking out all the weed growth. And then what your spring summer veggies are concerned, as with the seedlings, you can start sowing now the more hardier veggies. You can plant directly into or seed directly into your vegetable patch, and the more tender ones you can actually start in boxes as well, and plant them out towards the middle of September.
Okay. All right. And Growing, like, if it's now, you know, we're going into spring, and what about your indoor variety of plants? Not necessarily those that will grow very well outside, as you've now told us. What about me that may want to, you know, start a little garden inside? Would be best for me to...
For the apartment gardeners like you and Lisa, you have to now basically look at your pot plants. If you find that your plants are a bit pot bound, you can repot them now into a slightly bigger pot. Don't go from a small pot to a very large size pot with them. The plants don't like that. You normally just go one size up. So if your indoor plants are looking a bit tired, then it can be that they are pot-bound, so you can then repot them. If you don't have space for a large, quite a bigger pot, you can then also just take out your pot. Get some fresh soil, potting soil, cut out all weed growth and growth that doesn't look as healthy. So you basically thin it out and then you can repot it again in the same pot. Water it quite well, and then you can start feeding your pot plants as well. Another thing with pot plants is that we don't realize how dusty your inside environment is. And if you have pot plants with large leaves, or pot plants as such, the dust actually settle on the leaves, and that will prevent your plants from absorbing the maximum amount of light available inside your home. So it's a good idea to take just a soft sort of cloth and dip it in just water and gently wipe the upper surfaces of your leaves just to get rid of the dust on top of your leaves. And that will also open the stomata. It will help the plant to absorb all the light necessary, and you will have nice, healthy pot plants inside your home.
Okay, that's the cleaning of the leaves. Yes, definitely. I've seen what dust can do to a plant. It actually dries them up if you don't look after them within enclosed environments. So that's really important, because dust, especially if you're living in very in a very busy area with a lot of traffic and that kind of thing.
Yes, dust tends to settle on your pot plants quite easily.
Okay. And what else are we doing with our gardens? We've just got a few minutes. If you are wanting to maybe ask a question with regards to plants and gardening, you're welcome to do so. Remember, you can call us on 011-854-1548, or you can send me a text message on 084-030-9955.
Okay. One last thing I want to just mention. Your perennials, your perennials, and also some ground covers. It's also now a good time of the year to thin them out. So you gently lift them up, and then you remove all the nice fresh growth and plump shoots, and replant that in well-prepared garden beds. So if you look again at things like dahitis, clivias, your ornamental grasses, you can actually thin them out now and replant them. And your ornamental grasses, like your mondo grasses, if you find that they are looking tired but it's not very clumpy, for it to be lifted up and replanted, you can simply just cut it back, and that will stimulate quite healthy new growth going towards spring.
Okay. You know, we also at this time of the year, we think of, you know, like you always talk about how we should ensure that the garden, you know, everything is placed in its correct positions, or, you know, easier to reach, and the fact that when there's water available, which plants that need it most should be getting, you know, the water at that particular time.
Yeah.
During spring, we get a lot of this. So obviously in certain areas, like for instance, I know Durban, we have a lot of rain during our spring and summer season.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
How would we then manage, you know, the garden at that time because of this difference in the weather? Because if you go to the Cape, you don't get that much of rain. Their rain is more winter.
That is correct, yes. Well, what I can say for Durban gardeners, if you can do rainwater harvesting this time of the year in your JoJo tanks and stuff, you can store that water for when it's quite dry. And yes, Durban is a summer rainfall area, and it's a good idea to get your plants in now, because it can then get all the summer rains that it needs to get established, and then you will have nice strong plants in the drier time of the year during winter. In the Cape region, they have winter rains and quite dry summers. So what people there then should do is to mulch regularly during your spring summer months. Ensure that you always have a thick layer of mulch. It will prevent evaporation and also save water within that regard. And then something I always emphasize is do your grouping of your plants correctly. Plant plants with similar water needs together so that you don't waste water trying to water in between if you have plants with different water needs that are mixed together. Deep watering for the areas where you don't, like the Western Cape, which is dry in summer, so your dry summers, practice deep watering rather than frequent shallow watering. So deep watering will encourage plant roots to go down deeper, to the deeper level of your soil profile, and it will also reduce evaporation, and your soil will also stay longer moist, and you don't then need to water every day for that matter, and that will also save water. So
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a listener who wants to know. She sent me a picture of, she says it's an anthurium, and it's looking very, very healthy. The leaves are nice and big, but it's in a very small pot, and the plant is like really growing. She's got it indoors in indirect light. She wants to know whether she can repot it into a bigger, container. I can't think of the word.
Yeah. Yes, definitely she can. She can do it actually this time of the year. Get a good potting soil from a garden center, and select a pot that is one size up, not too big, just one size up of the pot that a plant is currently in.
Okay, so if the sister's listening, I think it's Sister Farida. If you, your anthurium, if you want to maybe repot into a slightly bigger pot, that would be great for it as well. Because they need to have their roots spread out as well. I mean, it must be quite, for roots to grow, you usually sometimes, you know, you take a plant out of a pot and you see this, the poor roots are like trying to go around each other because there's no other space for it.
Yes, that is that. The plant become pot bound, and it will end up more roots than actually potting soil in there, and the pot will tend to dry out very quickly, and also the plant will be confined, it won't grow quite nicely.
Yeah.
So Yes, it's a good idea if your plants are, if the pots are looking too small or becoming too tight, to just repot it.
All right, we've got another question, and this one says, I think it's a daisy, but it's not blooming. I bought this from a nursery. So I'm not sure if we can help with that because we really don't know what plant it is.
Yes, if you think it's a daisy, it might be. You get various different ones.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's in the pot or if it's in the garden. But anyway, daisies as such, they will start flowering quite soon. And if it's in a pot, then start feeding it with a liquid fertilizer. And if it's in the ground, you can mulch it again and feed it with a fertilizer high in potassium, something like 315, or you can even give it a liquid fertilizer. If you are going to use the liquid fertilizer, fertilize or add every second week just to encourage it to start blooming.
Okay. She says she's got it in a pot, and I think she says she's used Epsom salts. Will that be good?
The Epsom salts, it only changes the pH of the soil.
Soil, okay.
Yes, that is. But if you use something like nitrosol or trowel mix for that daisy that you have in the pot, I prefer using nitrosol. I find it is an excellent fertilizer, liquid fertilizer.
All right. Well, I think, we've had quite a few questions today. That's very, very good. It's nice to have an interactive show and have our listeners, have us know that our listeners are definitely listening in and enjoying the program. I've had very positive views, I must say. Thank you to our listeners for that. And I hope, many of them are saying that it's very informative and they're very grateful for the program, Astrid. So that's really for you, not for me. I just sit here and ask you questions as they come to mind, as I learn along with our listeners. So thank you very much for your time, and we do appreciate all of the education that you are imparting to us.
You're welcome, and thank you very much for the feedback. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Plenty more questions and plenty more feedback.
Definitely. I'm sure the listeners are thoroughly enjoying the show. I think it's nice to learn. I mean, for someone like me who has I wouldn't even say basic, because it's not even a basic knowledge of gardening. I'm just, I'm learning as I go along. It's been very good to learn all of the things that you've shared with us. And, I'm sure that one day when I have a nice big house of my own, or maybe a small little house with a big garden, I'll be able to take all of the information and use it. Otherwise, I'm just going to give you a call.
You're most welcome.
All right. Astrid, thank you so much for being on air with us today. We'll talk to you again next week, and hopefully we'll be talking about more interesting things to come, so our listeners can keep tuned in for next week's Sunday early morning breakfast show and the gardening show, inshallah. And we'll talk to you again next week. Have a good week ahead, and I hope your garden is filled with beautiful blooms as spring comes along.
My lettuce are just waiting to be harvested.
What else? Because I want to know whether you're making a good salad.
Well, my lettuce are ready, the basil are ready, and I've already been using some thyme in my cooking last night. So, quite excited about my veggies that's going to come up soon.
Okay, that's very, very good. Well, I know where I'm going to be visiting when the salad things are all ready. I'll bring along a few things too so we can add it in. Astrid, thank you very much. And like I said, have a good week ahead, and we'll speak to you next week.
A pleasure, and you have a good week ahead as well.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.